We're stepping away from the sequester now to get a take on something else that many people have been talking about this week, the Mediterranean diet. Study results released this week in the New England Journal of Medicine confirm that eating a diet rich in olive oil, legumes, nuts, fish, fresh fruits and vegetables, and even wine sharply reduces cases of heart attacks, strokes, and deaths from heart disease. The study randomly assigned subjects at high risk of heart disease to one of three diet groups. One group was given a low-fat diet. The other two were given versions of the Mediterranean diet, one focusing on olive oil, the other including significant portions of nuts. Researchers measured chemical markers in urine to check how well people were following key components of the diet. This five-year study is being praised for its rigor, and the results were so dramatically positive for the Mediterranean diet that ethical rules demanded it end early. Still, the noted food author Mark Bittman says, don't get carried away. There is good news here, but the study is not the answer to what we should eat. Bittman is the author of best-selling books, including the classic How to Cook Everything. He joins us from the studio at the New York Times, where he writes the food column called The Minimalist, and also writes for the newspaper's magazine and opinion page. Mark, welcome.
Nice to be here, Sasha.
And Mark, before we dive into the details of the study results, your basic take seems to be basically that delicious equals healthy. Is that how you like to sum it up?
Well, it is how I like to sum it up, but of course, different people have different definitions of delicious,
right.
And I'm sure we'll get into that.
Very subjective, exactly. So some details. Let's go to details. You're pointing out that the control group in this study, meaning the group not on the Mediterranean diet, this was a control group assigned a low-fat diet, but they didn't seem to be able to stick to that. So more or less, they seem to be eating a standard modern diet. Why is that important to keep in mind?
Well, there are people who have demonstrated that especially very, very low-fat diets are not only can prevent heart disease, but can reverse heart disease. So if, for example, let's take me. If I were to have a heart attack, I think I would probably go on an extremely low-fat diet after that. I think the evidence is there to show that that would be beneficial. So comparing in this study the Mediterranean diet to a low-fat diet isn't that valid for two reasons. One, it wasn't an ultra-low-fat diet, and two, no one stayed on it. So it wasn't a very effective control group. So I think what you can say here is that the Mediterranean diet is a much better diet than the standard American diet. That's not exactly earth-shattering news, but it does underscore something that a lot of people have been saying for 20 years or so.
Right. And in fact, you say that in many cases, most of us eat so badly that even modest changes in our diet could have real health benefits. That seems to be another key piece of this.
Well, that's sort of where the pragmatic – I tend to be very pragmatic about this stuff, and the studies are interesting. But I think we all know that if we change the proportions of foods in our diet more in favor of unprocessed or relatively unprocessed plant foods and less in favor of hyper-processed foods and added sugar and junk and animal products, I think pretty much everyone knows that kind of change would be beneficial. The problems lie in recommending extreme changes, which people find difficult to make. So, from my perspective, I like to say, look, if you change one meal a week for the better, you've changed, one meal a week for the better. You've changed 5% of your diet for the better. And as people recognize that that's not such a difficult thing to do, perhaps they'll do it more. I mean, we all want overnight change. We all want to be healthy. We all want to be thin. We all want to be this and that. But that's not the way it's going to work. It's going to work by people recognizing that there's a better direction or a better spectrum, and that moving along that spectrum, even gradually, makes a lot of sense.
In this country, at least, we eat a lot differently now than we did 100 years ago. And this is an oversimplification, but in some ways, the Mediterranean diet seems to be saying that if your grandparents ate it, it's probably okay for you to eat. Tell us a little bit about sort of their food versus our food and what we can learn from that.
You know, at this point, when you say that, you're probably saying great-grandparents, but it depends how old you are. My grandparents, yeah, but my kids' great-grandparents. The thing is that after World War II, and anyone who didn't see my colleague Michael Moss's piece in this past Sunday's New York Times magazine.
The sugar, fat, salt.
Yeah, the sort of manipulation of our diet by big food. And it's really a great piece. But the thing is that since World War II, our diet has really been manipulated by marketers who have gradually figured out what makes food appealing subconsciously, and what can make food even addictive or very close to being addictive. And you know, that is we know this is a combination of sugar, fat, and salt, and we know that sugar, even in non-sweet or theoretically non-sweet foods, makes them more appealing to our palates and via our brains. And this has been studied, and the food itself has been manipulated. And most of this has happened, really, almost all of this has happened since World War II. So saying the last 65, maybe 70 years. Before that, that science didn't really exist. And these kinds of foods that we take for granted now, granola bars and double cheeseburgers and chicken McNuggets and, the whole host of things that we consider everyday food didn't exist at all. So we are really guinea pigs on a diet that didn't exist pre-1950.
We're talking with food writer Mark Bittman. We'll be back with him in a minute. We're talking about study results published this week showing that a Mediterranean diet, meaning rich in olive oil, nuts, fish, fruits, vegetables, wine, sharply reduces the incidence of heart attacks, strokes, and deaths from heart disease. When we come back with Mark, we'll be talking about some recipes for what's healthy and delicious, or what he calls delicious, and why most of us don't eat that way. Back in a minute, here and now.
Funding for Here and Now comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink technical computing software, accelerating the pace of discovery in engineering and science. Find over 200 job openings at MathWorks.com.
Welcome back to our conversation with New York Times food writer Mark Bittman. His books include How to Cook Everything and the Food Matters Cookbook. We've been talking about the Mediterranean diet. And Mark, just before the break, we were talking about how if we were to emulate how our great-grandparents eat, that might be a good way to follow. But we took a little survey around the office this morning of what our staff's grandparents ate. That list include mayonnaise sandwiches, a lot of lard, butter on white bread, very rich desserts, borscht with a lot of sour cream, kielbasa. You know, none of that sounds very healthy or Mediterranean, but tell us why. I mean, would that be okay today? Because as long as it's pure butter, pure eggs, pure cream, that's better than artificial and chemicals.
Well, you didn't really mention those. The only thing that sounded tolerable out of that list was the borscht with sour cream. But you're saying you asked the staff about their grandparents, and that is what we've been saying for a long time. But I'm qualifying this and saying we need to go further back. We need to go to people who were born, you know, pre-1930, pre-1920. So at this point, that qualifies pretty much as great-grandparents. Look, the thing is, we have two categories of food, and one of them would not have been recognized as food 100 years ago. And if you take the definition of food as something that's nourishing and encourages growth, and we don't mean girth, we mean growth, then a lot of the stuff that we call food really isn't. It doesn't qualify because it's not nourishing. And whether that, you know, whether we're talking about sugar, which is becoming pretty clear to be bad for you, literally bad, not just not good, but bad. Or you're talking about something like, mayonnaise made with a bunch of strange ingredients, which may or may not be bad for you, but probably isn't good for you. Those things are much different from, that's the obvious, lettuce, broccoli, egg,
right.
And so on down the line. I mean, things that we recognize as food, things that don't have labels because their main ingredient is themselves.
Right. You know, or labels with 30 ingredients. Exactly.
Well, the main ingredient of broccoli is broccoli.
Right.
You know, I mean, you don't need a label on broccoli. But when you start making, you know, lean cuisine broccoli gratin or whatever, then it's got 30 ingredients. That's really a different animal, vegetable.
Mark, you said earlier that you tend to be a pragmatist. So let's do something really practical. Give us, you know, what's the dream breakfast, the dream lunch, the dream dinner, in your view, if we're going to eat like a Mediterranean diet?
Well, I mean, the thing is that a dream breakfast is oatmeal, you know? I mean, it could be anything. You know, the study said that the study didn't limit the number of eggs that people ate. So a dream breakfast could be eggs, but with a grilled tomato or with whole grain bread or something like that. But oatmeal is the no-brainer. Lunch is a salad, a chopped salad, rice and beans, something that really focuses on members of the plant kingdom, shall we say. And dinner can kind of be anything, but it's clear that fish and possibly chicken are preferable to red meats. And olive oil and nut oils and avocados are the healthiest fats. I mean, you know, as I said in the piece and as I say all the time, the stuff is not that complicated. You know, if you stocked olive oil in your house and that was pretty much the only oil you used, you'd be making a pretty big stride if you're somebody who's now using margarine as your primary fat.
One of our producers said this morning, who has time to soak all those beans? But is part of your point that you actually might not have to soak? You can buy canned beans and there are simple things you can do to eat well.
You know, it drives me crazy because it's like looking for an excuse. If you want to find an excuse not to eat better stuff, of course you can find an excuse. But soaking is not – you can cook beans without soaking. Soaking saves a little time, doesn't improve the quality. You can also cook a week's worth of beans in 2 hours and they keep fine in the refrigerator or the freezer. You can buy pre-cooked frozen beans and, of course, you can buy pre-cooked canned beans. And you know, to say I'm not eating beans because it takes so long to soak them, you know, show me that person.
You say that there are people are looking for excuses, but you know, there is money. I mean, a high quality olive oil can be very expensive. So can many nuts. How do you get people past the barrier when they think this is too expensive a way for me to eat?
Well, buy low quality olive oil. I don't care. I mean, you'll notice that nowhere in this conversation have I said it's important for people to eat organic food, it's important for people to eat local food, it's important for people to shop at Whole Foods or any of that kind of stuff. I've said basically change the proportion of things in your diet to favor plant foods as much as you can. That's sort of the bottom line here.
Is there room for dessert in this diet?
Well, the dessert would be better if it was a fruit or nut-based dessert than if it were a cream and sugar-based dessert. Chocolate was part of the diet of the people on the beneficial side of this study. So if dessert is a load of chocolate, it seems that could be beneficial. You know, wine, you're going to ask this question anyway. So the people who are taking part in this study were allowed 7 glasses of wine a week, not that anyone's counting. And that's, you know, that's a glass a day or 4 one day and 3 another, which is how many people I know drink. But, you know, it's not that someone is someday going to say here is the ideal diet, because it's going to vary from person to person. And it's also not entirely clear that wine itself is what's good for you. It may be that people who drink wine tend to linger over meals, and there have been studies that show that more social meals are more beneficial. But I think, you know, I think what we can gain from this is that an old-fashioned European kind of diet is better than a modern American kind of diet.
That's food writer Mart Bittman. His books include the classic How to Cook Everything. He also writes for the New York Times opinion page and the New York Times Magazine. He's been talking to us about the Mediterranean diet. Mark, thanks very much.
You're welcome, Sasha. Thank you.
Monday on Here and Now, the U.S. military burns 12 million gallons of oil every day, but the Navy's trying to reduce that consumption by using alternative fuels as it patrols the world's oceans. Also, the ad agency behind the National Rifle Association, that's Monday. And still ahead today, the story of the children who hid from the Nazis by hiding their true heritage. News is next, Here and Now.